You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Visions of the bucolic James Harriet and doctors caring for cats and dogs is what typically comes to mind when people think of veterinarians. But there is so much more to this profession. Dr. John DeYoung of Weston, Massachusetts, and a member of the American Veterinary Medical Association's leadership, is my guest today. We'll discuss how veterinary medicine in the USA has evolved in the past 150 years and the exciting advances that are taking place every day. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Swipe It's a revolutionary new product that literally swipes away cat hair from virtually any surface. You know, most of us struggle with a roller or vacuum cleaner to clean up cat hair, but anyone who has tried either of these knows they just don't work very well. But Swipe It's patent pending glove has a magnetic-like quality that removes cat hair from almost everything. And best of all, Swipe It's is machine washable, so you can use it over and over again. To order, just visit swipeits.com. That's S-W-I-P-E-T-S. A simple solution for shedding.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more, and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. DeYoung, thank you so much for being with us today. So how are things in Weston, Massachusetts?
Oh, my pleasure, Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Things are cold. It's about in the mid-20s here in Boston area. It's a sunny day, but we're expecting a snowstorm later this weekend. But, you know, it's typical New England weather.
And, I mean, that's what seasonal. I mean, it's kind of neat. I'm glad I don't have to shovel snow myself personally, but I like visiting it. Somebody has to live there and take care of those animals. Well, as I mentioned, you are a member of the American Veterinary Medical Association, and this year, the AVMA is celebrating their 150th anniversary. How has the mission changed over the past 150 years when it was established as the United States Veterinary Medical Association?
Well, good question. I think the organization itself has not changed much. It's always been a membership organization striving to improve the practice and the quality of lives of its members, the veterinarians that are members of the AVMA. But as far as what we do as a profession, veterinary medicine's changed a great deal over the last 150 years. 150 years ago, most of the profession was geared towards taking care of farm animals and work animals, animals that provided transportation, that helped take care of, you know, utilize the farm equipment to take care of crops and what have you. And also food production, which has always been a very large part of what veterinarians have had to do, is take care of animals that are used for food. But today, now, we're seeing a lot more in the way of pets, dogs and cats. And many, many years ago, 150 years ago, dogs and cats and the human-animal bond did not take as big a part of human beings' lives, per se, or at least did not rise to that level of importance that veterinarians spend a lot of time doing that kind of work.
What's your involvement in the AVMA? I said that you're part of leadership. What are you doing? How long have you been doing this?
I've been part of the AVMA leadership, if you will, since 1999. I served in the House of Delegates for 12 years. The House of Delegates is comprised of 69 organizations now. It's 50 states, Puerto Rico, District of Columbia, and all of the allied groups, such as the swine practitioners, the feline practitioners, the equine practitioners, bovine, small ruminants, and other groups as well, including the American Animal Hospital Association and the student AVMA. In 2010, I was elected to the AVMA Executive Board. It was comprised of individuals representing 11 different districts, 11 people, geographically distinguished across the United States, as well as a vice president whose role is to visit the veterinary schools around the country, the president-elect, the president, and the past president. And we also have a treasurer as a non-voting member.
It sounds as though there's just a lot of people that the AVMA represents. And what I oftentimes find enjoyable to tell people is that there's only about 91,000 veterinarians in the United States. Isn't that correct?
You are absolutely correct. Yeah, there's about 91,000, or maybe it's a little bit more, but 85,000 are members of the AVMA. So of professional organizations in the United States, we are proud to say that we hold probably the highest level of membership participation of people within our profession compared to, say, the American Medical Association, where perhaps only 15 to 20% of all physicians are members of the AMA. Instead, they're members of their specialty groups and what have you. But, we are wise to serve as an umbrella organization for the profession. We're a small group of people. We could all probably fit into the football stadium at The Ohio State University, but we're proud to stick together, and we can achieve a lot more when it comes to legislative issues, both in the national and the local levels, to try and stand together. And we deal with everything from dealing with antimicrobials in feeds for food-producing animals to animal welfare issues and environmental issues and how it affects animals, public health, wildlife, zoonotic diseases coming into the United States. The list is endless.
You brought up something I think, Dr. Xiong, that is so important, of this farm-to-fork mentality or reality, I should say, is that veterinarians really play such a major role in feeding the American public as well as the world. And I know it's just this week that legislation was passed making veterinarians responsible for ensuring that antibiotics that previously were used in maybe not the most controlled manner for our food animals, that veterinarians are now going to be responsible for implementing these regulations. Are there enough veterinarians to really do this? And what else can Congress do to safeguard the American food supply?
That's a very good question. I think are there enough veterinarians in federal government service? And the short answer is no. There's a lot of people on the retirement list or waiting to retire in government service, that is veterinarians that are involved with food production and public health. So there are probably not enough veterinarians serving in that capacity, and there's a real need for young individuals in this country to step forward, to go into veterinary medicine and to serve in that role. As far as veterinarians in private practice, both in the small farmers' communities as well as in the large food production areas, there are, I think, an adequate number of veterinarians out there working, making sure and ensuring that we have a safe food supply. As far as the extra workload that is being placed on veterinarians, I think we're accepting that responsibility, welcoming it, actually, just because of the fact that it's important that veterinarians be responsible, that antimicrobials, antibiotics are judiciously used in food animal production, and that we have good controls on that so that we can prevent potential for antimicrobial resistance as foods get into the food chain for both animals and people. So it's a welcome step. I know that the pharmaceutical groups as well as the leadership in the profession are welcoming these changes from the FDA.
It was nice that it's voluntary, too, that the government's not trying to regulate it. They've set the rules, but as I understand it, it's going to be voluntary cooperation with these regulations.
That is my understanding as of right now as well. I hope it stays that way, because if an extra burden is placed on veterinarians as far as paperwork and record keeping and making the controls more stringent and thereby increasing the time demands, eventually that will parlay into costs, which will, you know, go down the food chain, no pun intended, so that the cost of food may actually go up as well. So hopefully it will stay the way it is, but it's a welcome addition to the profession.
The public oftentimes views veterinary medicine from the viewpoint of Animal Planet. You know, they see that that's what veterinarians do, and most of Americans' public has an interaction with veterinarians through their cats and dogs. But veterinary medicine, as you mentioned, is very much involved with zoonotic diseases, those diseases that affect humans and animals. And public health is really in the forefront of how veterinarians are protecting global health. Could you touch on that a little bit, what veterinarians are doing to protect global health?
Sure. Veterinarians, both domestically in the United States and across the world, are really involved in monitoring and surveillance of disease outbreaks, both in animals and humans. And there are diseases that are, as we mentioned, zoonotic, meaning transmissible from animals to humans and vice versa. And so anytime you see disease outbreaks, whether it's avian flu or swine flu or foot and mouth disease, veterinarians are the ones that are responsible in making the observations, recording them, and then ensuring that the proper controls are put in place so that these diseases do not spread, whether it's within the animal communities or spread to humans in the way of public health. And then they will shut down borders or do what is needed or contain certain animal populations. Sometimes that unfortunately means the slaughter of large amounts of animals to contain the disease. So those are some of the kind of things that we do nationally and internationally to ensure that we keep the public health as safe as possible.
And that's so important. I know that veterinarians truly are on the forefront of bioterrorism, because we will see diseases many times before they're going to be seen in people. I'll always remember it was Dr. McNamara in New York when West Nile virus first came into the United States. She was the one, a veterinary pathologist working at the Bronx Zoo, if I remember correctly, who first realized this disease that was affecting humans and animals was a disease we had never seen in the United States, so a veterinarian who is taking care of the public's health.
True, and actually Lyme disease, which we see throughout New England, was first discovered by Dr. Barry Lissman, a veterinary practitioner in Long Island. And that's where, you know, Lyme disease really got its start as far as being understood as far as an animal and human disease. And then since then we've made, you know, broad advances as far as vaccinating dogs for Lyme disease and actually the treatment of animals and peoples alike. So yeah, veterinarians are at the forefront of a lot of disease outbreaks, finding out what they are, discovering them. We are trained in microbiology, in biochemistry, and all the same things that many of the people in, well, human doctors, physicians, and people in the medical sciences do. So we have a broad understanding, probably broader than most professions, and are able to identify those things and hopefully step in before things get too bad on a regular basis.
What do you think are some of the major challenges facing America's pet owners today? You know, you mentioned Lyme disease and West Nile. What are some of the other challenges that are out there?
Oh, boy. I think it's somewhat regional, and it depends on the species that you take care of. As a veterinarian practicing in New England, I see a lot of Lyme disease. I see a fair amount of leptospirosis. We do now vaccinate for that again, although that was sort of taken off the vaccine list for a few years, leptospirosis being a spirochete bacteria that is spread through the urine of wildlife and found in wet soils and in wet environments. Rabies is not a big problem, but it's important that all animals, dogs, and cats be vaccinated for rabies on a regular basis. It is a public health hazard, and it can cause the death of mammals, including humans, all the time. So that is something that's required in virtually every state in the United States. Canine distemper, we don't see much of anymore, but we vaccinate for it routinely. And the reason we've almost eradicated some of these diseases from private practice is because of the fact that we've been able to vaccinate successfully for them for so long. Parvovirus in dogs, which is an intestinal disease causing hemorrhagic diarrhea or bloody diarrhea and really severe lethargy and even death in these animals. When I was in veterinary school many years ago, a lot of these animals were isolated in wards and a lot of them did not make it. But now that we vaccinate, we see it much less. We've been vaccinated for it for probably 40, 50 years now. and not quite eradicated the disease, but we see a lot less of it. Intestinal parasites are always out there, and there isn't a week that goes by that I'm not diagnosing roundworm, hookworm, tapeworm, whipworm, or Giardia in some dog or cat that comes into my practice. And so using the proper preventative medications out there, heartworm is another one that very, very common in the South, but we see it throughout the United States, and all dogs should be put on heartworm preventative. In cats, you've got the three major viruses, rhinotracheitis, calicivirus, virus, and panleukopenia. For outdoor cats, feline leukemia virus is still present in the feline populations outdoors, and so we do vaccinate for that. FIV is another virus. So those are some things that we see in small animal practice.
So it really seems as though veterinary medicine, especially here in the United States, under the guidance of the AVMA, has really tried to promote preventive medicine, being proactive, and
absolutely,
this overall view of this world health phenomena that we're not just isolated, because as you mentioned, you can have the economic consequences of a disease that's breaking out that may not be affecting people, like hoof and mouth that they had in England, and the huge number of animals that needed to be destroyed, and the economic ramifications that had on that economy there was just amazing.
Bioterrorism, agroterrorism, they're both potential threats to our nation, to the economy, the food supply, and what have you. And when we're talking about disease, of course, I failed to mention fleas and ticks and all the other ectoparasites that are out there that we need to keep a watchful eye on and make sure that our pet population is not coming down with them, because they can wreak havoc on an animal.
That's definitely true. I think a lot of people don't realize that these parasite diseases, fleas were responsible for the Black Plague in the Middle Ages, killing just millions of people. And then I believe that it's a mosquito that's killed more people in the world than all the wars combined. So here are just these little bugs that are out there that can have just huge effects on animals and people. Dr. DeYoung, how do you see veterinary medicine changing in the next 150 years? We've just celebrating now 150 years of AVMA being in existence in the United States. What do you see in the next 150 years?
Well, very good question. I would say that I hope that veterinary medicine becomes a more integral part of the understanding of the public as far as the many, many things that we do as far as, protecting wildlife and doing what we can to prevent the certain species from leaving the site of this planet, you know, and extinctions occurring. I hope that food animal production and what we do as veterinarians is better understood and appreciated. I think that farming methods are going to change as they have changed over the last 10, 20, 30 years and will continue to evolve to change. I think animal welfare today has become far more important to many more people than it ever was before. And so we need to be careful that we are taking care of the animals that are our pets and our companions, but also taking good care of those that are our food supply and treating them humanely and at the same time maintaining a safe and also an economically viable product for human beings. As far as another way I think that's going to change in the next 150 years is more and more emphasis is being placed on aquatic species and fish farming, turtle farming, and harvesting the seas and the waters for protein sources for us to have is going to be something that veterinarians are going to evolve into as well. I think those are some of the areas that I would see it changing, but I don't know if I'll be here in 150 years, so it'll be interesting for those that are around then to hopefully do the same job that we're doing now to try and make sure we're doing the right things for animals and humans alike.
And Dr. DeYoung, I love the fact that veterinarians have gotten so involved in translational research. So research to try to cure diseases that we see in animals, same type of diseases that are seen in people, stem cell therapy that's being done in animals and knowing the translation of how that affects people. All of this, there's just this interplay between the two. And instead of being the arena of veterinary medicine and the arena of human medicine, now the two, our professions, are talking to each other. We're learning from each other. And I think we can really have such tremendous strides if we continue that conversation.
I couldn't agree more. I'm so glad you brought that up. The whole concept of one health, because we're all species on this planet together, has really started to evolve over the last 10 years. Actually, it was a former president of the AVMA, Dr. Roger Marr, that came forward to the AVMA's House of Delegates and Executive Board and suggested the creation of a One Health Commission. And we reached out to our friends in the human healthcare field and said, you know, we're all in this together, and there's a lot of crossover, and we can help one another. And so that is emerging, and I think it's going to continue to emerge. And as you look forward to the next 150 years, I think that will be a very important part of how things are done and where we go from here as far as trying to protect all the species on the planet.
Well, I've been speaking right now with Dr. John DeYoung of Weston, Massachusetts. I can see why you were chosen Boston's best veterinarian. Thank you very much for being a guest with us today. You've been listening to Dr. Bernadine Cruz on The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Please tune in again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.